He saluted and clicked his boot heels.
Yes, my lord.
How are the preparations for our departure?
We can leave any time, sir.
Excellent. Any word from Colette yet?
The officer hesitated, then plowed on.
I sent a rec team to check. But with her and Dixon being gone for so long, they found only bones, dead muties, and burned wreckage. Wild dogs got them.
Four bodies? Two Hummers?
Impossible to say, my lord. The mutants had been feasting, and the wreckage of the explosion was thrown all over the area. The ammo must have cooked off from the fire.
Unless the slave had found the entry code and that bitch Colette was now inside the redoubt. It was a chance he had been forced to take, and it might have bitten him in the ass. Shitfire. He never should have trusted the traitorous bitch.
Get a squad to the boilers and start stoking a fire. I want maximum steam as soon as possible, hopefully before nightfall.
Yes, my lord.
And triple the wall guards, just in case.
More muties?
If we're lucky.
Sheffield headed for the control room in the blockhouse at the base of the dish. Their meal over, the Baron of Green Coveville and his men had adjourned to the war room to plot the attack on Front Royal. Racks of long blasters lined three of the walls, along with spears, swords, longbows, and quivers of arrows, while hand-drawn maps of the area adorned the fourth wall. The Baron and his troops studied the plastic sheet carefully. Meanwhile, Baron Henderson was sketching on a tabletop with a piece of charcoal. He drew neat square figures on the smooth wood.
The drawbridge is here, not there, as your maps say. There is a hill back here, perfect for launching an attack, but it's a trap. They have some sort of secret chamber in the trees, possibly a tunnel, and can release those monster dogs at will.
How do you know all this?
Duquesne was pinning some pre-dark medals to his shirt. One of the many treasures found in the ruins where his grandfather had built the ville was a military supply store. All of the ammo and blasters were gone, but many other useful items remained. Uniforms, medals, lots of swords, and countless books on warfare. Duquesne had never learned to read, but he wore the medals, and they made him feel brave and confident, as he had earned the right to wear the decorations through simple birth. Aside from the fancy ribbons and medals, the Baron was wearing a helmet from some pre-dark war. Made of heavy steel, it was round, with a very wide brim, and a chin strap to keep it in place. Duquesne had many other helmets from different wars. Some were more lightweight, others form-fitting and sleek, but this antique was made of heavy steel with several deep dents, showing it was protection against large-caliber rounds. The Sekhmen got the fancy helmets for battle, but the steel was reserved solely for the use of the Baron.
I know, because Cawdor obliterated my troops with those blasted dogs.
So we need a strategy to remove the dogs, first off.
Henderson gestured at the assortment of weapons.
You have the answer right here. Pikes to hold the dogs off, while archers feather them with poisoned arrows. Once the dogs are gone, the battle will be easy.
Perhaps. But their front gate is formidable. It would take a lot of explosives to blow through, and why wouldn't they use their sky machine on invaders outside the walls?
Putting the charcoal aside, Henderson knew he had no answer to that simple question, and so lied outrageously.
It's too close. They try and melt us, they'd only destroy themselves.
And you know this for a fact?
Of course.
Good, because you will be leading my troops into battle.
That wasn't part of our deal.
It is now.
Suddenly, a Sekhmen burst into the room and drew his blaster. The other Sekhmen closed around the Baron, and the newcomer had his weapon pointed at Henderson.
What is the meaning of this outrage?
Henderson stuck a hand into his pants and grabbed the squad derringer. Duquesne glared at the Sekhmen.
Well?
Report, trooper.
Seaton had drawn his hand cannon. He cocked back the hammer.
Bind that son of a bitch.
He's a fucking liar, my lord. I just rode back from Front Royal and found them hard at work repairing damage from an attack. I bought some of the civilians drinks in a bar and got the whole story. There was a revolt. Some man named Overton pretended he was the bastard son of a Cawdor and tried to take over.
If he was strong enough to do so, good. Only the strong should rule.
While the Sekhmen murmured approval at the statement, Henderson edged a little closer to a gun rack. His derringer would buy him a few seconds, but after that he was in for a fight. The White Hair had no intention of getting captured alive, and letting Duquesne do what he had done so often to his own prisoners. The very thought made him feel ill, and Henderson fought back a wave of nausea. Some of the SecMen noticed his movement and moved to intercept him. Henderson changed his course, a new plan already forming in his mind.
He had lots of blasters and a war wagon in perfect condition, but Ryan Cotter stopped the man. They have no intention of attacking anybody. They're building their walls and planting crops.
Not what you do when planning an invasion.
Seaton drew his oversized weapon and pointed the business end at Henderson. Everybody behind the old Baron moved away quickly. Going backward to the wall as if terrified, Henderson quickly drew his tiny derringer. The SecMen laughed at the miniature blaster until the old Baron thrust it against an alcohol lantern and fired. The glass reservoir shattered, spraying burning fluid over a gun rack and the stack of ammo boxes underneath. The SecMen yelled as they scrambled for cover. Seaton kicked over the map table for protection, and Duquesne put a guard in front of him as a shield, while Henderson dived for the open doorway and sprinted down a hallway just as the first of the bullets began to ignite from the spreading flames. In seconds, the war room was under a barrage of ricochets, the flames spreading across the carpeting for the kegs of black powder. Evening was starting to darken the sky over Green Coveville, and the SecMen on top of the Baron's building grew tense as they heard the sounds of distant blaster fire. Only the noise was muffled, and they weren't sure from what direction it was coming. All looked quiet in the streets below. Just then, the guards felt a warm wind wash over them and noticed a sudden increase in the waning daylight.
What the fuck is that?
There was no lightning in the sky, no sounds of thunder. But as the SecMen watched, the red and orange clouds began to thin, and within moments a clear blue sky was visible. A corporal rubbed at his itchy cheek.
Nuke me. Never seen nothing like that before.
Clear blue sky!
The SecMen twitched at the gnats biting his skin.
Gotta be a good sign.
You think?
What else could it be?
Eh, maybe so.
The corporal idly scratched at his exposed forearms, then did so with more force. What was going on? He felt as if ants were crawling over his body, but nothing was visible on his skin. Maybe he caught something from those travelers he raped last week. Damn farmers, weren't even good for decent hump. Then the guards jumped as something moist smacked onto the roof nearby. Working the bolt on his long blaster, the corporal walked over and was stunned to see a dead eagle sprawled on the concrete, wisps of steam hissing from within its curved beak. Starting to twitch badly, the puzzled SecMen stared at the other guards and saw their eyes turn solid white a split second before his own vision went completely black. Wild panic seized the men, and they dropped their blasters to rub their eyes in the desperate hope something was merely covering their faces and blocking the light. But nothing was there, and they began to twitch from the painful tingling now covering their entire bodies. Abandoning his friends, one SecMen darted for the stairs and ran straight off the edge of the roof, wailing all the way down to the street, where he landed across the top of an artesian well, the brutal impact shattering his spine and shoving pieces of bone through his chest. Blind and paralyzed, the SecMen couldn't even scream anymore as he felt his lifeblood flowing along his limbs and into the water below. Crawling along the roof, the other SecMen made it to the stairs and soon were tumbling down the steps in their haste to escape. As they reached the fourth floor, the sounds of blaster fire became noticeably louder. They stumbled along a hallway, shouting for help, until the corporal accidentally bumped into an alcohol lantern, spilling the fuel all over himself and bursting into flames. The burning man screamed in agony and madly dashed around, igniting wallpaper and tapestries until finally collapsing to the carpet, the pre-dark shag woofing into flames, as if it had been designed for such a purpose. Backing away from the growing conflagration, the third SecMen found himself trapped in a corner with nowhere to run. Clawing the wall to try to find a door or a window, the trooper felt his clothes catch fire and grew strangely peaceful as he drew his hand cannon and shoved it inside his mouth to blow out his brains rather than burn to death. Somewhere in the bill, the alarm bell began to ring, as thatched roofs on the servants' huts started to smolder in smoke. In the streets, horses screamed and ran blindly through crowds, knocking over the twitching civilians before dashing out their own lives against a stone wall. More birds fell from the terrible blue sky as the people began to realize they were blind and began insanely screaming.